This morning, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm 1. We're just going to read. Let's read this very short psalm. The Psalms, as many of you might know, is a prayer book. It's a book of prayers and psalms, and it's thousands of years old. It's an old collection of songs of prayers, and it's a really interesting thing because when you think about if God wanted to communicate something to us, how do you think that might arrive? What form do you think that might arrive? And you go, well, you know, maybe God would give us like a book of information. Maybe he would give us an index of his attributes. Open the Bible, A for awesome, you know, B for whatever. But the Bible doesn't really come like that, does it? The Bible is given to us in the form of a grand story of God revealing himself and to show us what he's like. But then it's a story that involves a people or just like us with all kinds of flaws, all kinds of imperfections, all kinds of struggles. People who are not, who don't have it all together. And this story is a wonderful, faithful God and a struggling and unfaithful people. And so when we start reading the Bible, we're like, oh, this is good news because I'm not meeting shiny, perfect, put together people. I'm meeting people that are just like us. But what's maybe even more surprising than the fact that the Bible comes to us in a big story is that right in the middle of the story is a collection of prayers and songs. And this is an interesting thing. I don't know if you're, do you like watch movies that are musicals? Anybody? Like, did you enjoy Wicked? Anyone here? Like, okay, I thought you into that stuff. Now, what about like, roll it back a bit. Like, what about like Lord of the Rings? Where they start bringing you to like Elton songs. I mean, this is like an elite level nerds right here, you know? So maybe you're like, I don't understand why we're reading stories and then all of a sudden there's songs. The reason these prayers and songs are in the Bible is because God knows we learn to pray by praying back to God the words he spoke to us. Now, if any of you have kids, this is exactly how you teach kids a language, how to speak. You go, ball, and you go, mama, and you say words, and they say back to you the words you said to them. This is why God gave us the Psalms. It's so we can say back to him the words he said to us. So maybe you're here this morning and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing here and I don't even know how to pray. I've got good news. God gave you a cheat code. It gave you 150 prayers that he wants you to be able to use, say back to him the words he's said to us. Amen? Now, a couple of things that are really surprising when you start praying back to God the words that he's spoken to us. Number one, you discover that the Psalms are more honest than you want to be. They're more honest than you want to be. In fact, there are a lot of prayers in here about negative emotions, emotions that we would rather not name. Disappointment with God, fear, worry. And you could we could list through a whole bunch of them. In fact, let me pull up an example for you, just a list of some psalms where you go, man, I didn't know that I could say all of these things to God. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. Come on. Here we go. All right. You can file this away for different days. Okay. So if you're experiencing doubt, Psalm 22 is a great one to pray. If you're experiencing fear, Psalm 27 is a great one to pray. If you're experiencing grief and loss, Psalm 42 and 43 kind of belong together. It's a medley. What if you have like someone that you're struggling? I mean, you don't even want to say it, but you're like, I think I struggle with hatred of this person. Psalm 137. Is something to pray. There is nothing in the realm of human experience that the Bible doesn't give you language to talk to God about it. So yesterday we said, talk to God. He's the one in charge. The Psalms go, yeah, no, really, I mean it. Talk to God. Every one of your emotions, anger, hatred, fear, grief, sorrow, doubt, all of them. The second thing you discover about the Psalms, not only do they make us more honest than we would rather be, but they actually help us to be fully present to God. Not just fully honest, but actually fully present to God. We know from the world of relational science that human beings bond, attachments happen when we are able to turn toward the person that we're trying to connect with. So marriage counselors like the Gottmans talk about this bid for connection, that a couple might say something, someone in a marriage might say something like, oh man, look at the sunset, and it's not really about the sunset, it's a little bid for connection. And what John Gottman calls this is, he says, there's a moment where the couple has to decide, the other person has to decide, are they going to turn toward or are they going to turn away? Now, right away in the Bible, Psalm 1, go there with me, Psalm 1, It says the truly happy person doesn't follow wicked advice, doesn't stand on the road of sinners, and doesn't sit with the disrespectful. Instead of doing those things, these persons, the truly happy person, loves the Lord's instruction, and they recite God's instruction day and night. Now, verse 1, verse 2. Verse 1 is turning away. They don't do these kinds of things, but verse 2 is turning toward. They do delight in God's instructions. What the Psalms give us, the very first one, is that God is a speaking God. Now, if you ever read any of the sections of the Old Testament, it's one of the most remarkable things that shows up when God contrasts himself with the idols. He's like, the idols, it's a piece of wood. They can't talk to you. They're deaf. They're dumb. They don't listen to you, and they can't reply to you. But what's the God of Israel? He is a speaking God. He's a God who hears and speaks. Now imagine this. You're in a relationship, and God's speaking. And we are like this, our backs to him, and we're like, yeah, just one second, God. I've got a bunch of other things I need to do. And Psalm 1 says, oh, turn away from the wicked, from the sinner, from the mockers, and turn toward the very word of God. It's not about legalism, and it's not about changing behaviors and acting the part. It's about moving towards relationship. That's what the Psalms invite us into. All of our songs, the majority of our songs in the world, are love songs. Why? Because the deepest human longing is for this kind of connection. And the deepest connection you could ever find is with the God who made you. And that's what the Psalms invite us to do. Now, verse 3.
They are like a tree replanted by streams of water, which bears fruits at just the right time, whose leaves don't fade, and whatever they do succeeds. In the Middle East, there's long seasons of drought. Long seasons where the rain doesn't come. The only way a tree is going to make it to maturity is if they find another water source. Can I say that that's true for your life as well? You might be new in your relationship with God. You might be newer in life, younger in life. Wherever you are, you won't mature to the next season unless you find a different water source. If you're dependent on rain, what's rain? Let's say rain is just when, like, things are going good, when life is awesome and it's great. When you, every time you step into church, you're like, man, I just, God is so close and everything's working out. And I like my job. I like my friends. Everything's great. One day, the rain will stop. And one day, life will feel harder than it is today. Maybe you're living in that one day. And you're like, no, actually, I'm in a place of drought. The psalm knows right out of the gate, Psalm 1, the very first song we're giving, says to us, turn away, turn toward, and when you do, you're going to find another water source. So it won't matter if it's raining or not. It won't matter if there's precipitation, because you found a stream. You found a stream. And some of you, you're going through a period where you feel like God is distant. I want to say to you, it may feel like he's distant, but as you present yourself to God, what you don't realize is underneath the surface, on a subterranean level, your soul is finding roots. Your roots are finding the water. You're finding the life of God. The Psalms make us fully honest. They make us fully present. And as a result, we become fully alive. That's what happens as a result. We become fully alive to God. Now, I want to give you a practical tip here. We got 1 minute left. I want to give you a little instruction on how, as you go into a personal time, feel like, I want to pray the Psalms, but I just don't know how to do this. Have you ever bought a card for someone in your life? Like a birthday card, Mother's Day card? Yes? Bought a card? Okay. Do you ever give someone the card without writing something in it? Probably not, right? It's not a good idea. Yeah, but pro tip, right? Or add a few lines, just like put a few lines in it, right? That's a greeting card is how you are meant to pray the Psalms. God's given us his words. Let's just add a few of your own. So it goes like this. Okay, verse 6, if someone, the Lord is intimately acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is destroyed. Lord, thank you that you know me and you know every part of my life. So, Lord, help me to know you as I walk through. But that's it. I just added two sentences there, and you carry on. And you could do this when you pray a psalm. Read a couple verses, and when you feel this prompting to kind of stop, just stop.
I go, you know what? Yes, I mean that. I remember as a kid, my parents would sometimes give me a birthday card. They write their own words in it. But sometimes they would just underline the words that were in the green card.
That's the same thing. You read a psalm, you're like, oh, I like that one. Yes, God, that one. Yes, I mean that. Help me, God. Yes, help, you know.
So say, and as you do this, you know what? It starts transforming you. All of a sudden now, when you're not praying the psalms, the language of the psalms are still coming out of you anyway. You've become fully honest. You've become fully present. You've become fully alive. Amen? So let's take a moment now. I think, Maria, am I supposed to turn them to where... personal time? Is that right? Okay, great. So let me just pause right here. Let's catch our breath. Lord, we're here because we want to turn away from the impulses of our own flesh. We want to turn away from a self-directed, a self-oriented life. We're here because we want to turn toward the speaking God. You are putting out bids for connection, and we want to turn toward you. And so, Lord, here we are, fully honest. Help us to be fully honest, and help us to be fully present. And Lord, as we find the water, make us fully alive. Jesus said.